very easy for us in a modern technological world to feel insignificant, to feel as if we are just one of many. Now, that's not the Lord's view, even though we might sometimes feel like it. Our Lord recognizes that we are unique. And I suspect that he sees more diversity in people than a medical scientist can find by analyzing DNA. After all, we are each of us formed in his image and likeness. We each have a capacity of bringing a unique reflection of God in the world. Now, I remind you what the Lord said to Jeremiah in the first reading today. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. Now, the Lord knows us before we were existing. He has a plan for our lives. This is our divine individuality, if you will, our personhood. It's the reason that God created every one of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I have days when I am my best self. And I have days when I'm anything but my best self. And I found a common element to my bad days. When I have a bad day, there's something within me that justifies my actions by saying, you're just one of the crowd. And maybe you see yourself doing that also. We justify our behavior by saying that we are merely conforming. We rationalize our actions behind everybody's doing it. And then we're just one of the many because we refuse to step away from that conformity and take a step into our personhood as children of God. These are our bad days, or weeks, or months, or years. But then we have our good days. And our good days, we're not concerned with whether or not we're different from everyone else around us. On our good days, we're concerned that we allow God's love to flow through our individuality, our talents, our uniqueness. And on our best days, we manifest our individual image of God to the world. Maybe the word I'm looking for is courage. When we respond to the call to be the person God created us to be, we enter into the realm of faith that demands courage. Jeremiah, responding to the call to be a prophet, was mocked and persecuted. You know the story. He was spat upon. He was beaten. They threw him into a deep well and left him for dead. All because he would not conform to what all the other false prophets were saying. He was courageous. And our Lord, too, responding to the call to proclaim a new kind of Messiah among the people, was mocked. He was ridiculed by his friends and neighbors, the people who watched him grow up. They laughed him out of the synagogue and tried to kill him right there in his hometown of Nazareth. He had the courage to resist giving in to them. I'm going to throw a deep thought at you from the theologian and spiritual writer Kerslop Lake. Lake died about 60 years ago. Here's his thought. Faith, true faith, is not belief in spite of evidence. True faith is life in scorn of consequence. Life in scorn of consequence. You know, it's not just Jeremiah or Jesus who faced being mocked and persecuted for their faith. We too are called to live in a way that leaves us open to conflict with society and the scorn of consequence. John Paul II said that Christians are to live as a sign of contradiction in the world. We are called to have courage to be that unique person that the Lord calls us to be without regard to the difficulties that others might have with the exercise of our unique personhood. We have to have the courage to be our best selves. Now, does this mean that we avoid community? No, it means the exact opposite. We seek out community. We embrace community. As I said last week, you cannot be a Christian apart from the body of Christ. We are members of the church who blend our individuality into a greater reflection of the presence of God amongst his people. Now, people ought to be drawn to the church because they want to share their unique divine call with others who are open to their individuality. At the same time, people are drawn to the church because they want to enjoy the presence of the image of God that others bring to that community. You know, when I was in New Jersey, my first week there, there was a letter of transfer on my desk from a woman, and her name was Eleanor. And I went to my secretary and I said, "Well, tell me about this." And she said, "Well, she goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth about four churches." So I transferred her off to a parish about 5 miles down the road. A year later, she came back and she wanted back in. And I said, "Fine, we'll have you back in." Had her back in. About a year later, she wanted to transfer to the next parish beyond that 5 mile parish. And I said, "You know, Eleanor, this is a spiritual problem that you have. It is precisely by living in community that all of our rough edges are shaved off. It's precisely by living with people that we sometimes don't like or have difficulty with that we grow spiritually." I said, "So if I transfer you off again, I'm not having you back." Transferred her off. A year later, she was in my office again, wanting back in. And I said, "No," which is my prerogative. I said, "No, you need to learn how to be an individual in a community larger than yourself for your own spiritual well-being." I noticed when I got my first newsletter after moving here that the rector had transferred her back in. Now, I hate being a cliche. I hate being a stereotype. I hate TV programs and movies about priests that portray all priests as sort of out-of-touch, pious residues of an age past. I once had a guy trying to sell me a photocopier, and he pandered to me. "The good father this, the good father that." He had no shot of making a deal. I hate being a cliche. I hate being a cliche because when I sin, that's being a cliche. When I sin, I choose just to be another one of everybody else out there who's doing this or that. And I love it when God gives me the courage to be my best self. In those moments of my life, usually when I'm still sore from the 2x4 that God has whacked me over the head with, in those moments, I come to a deeper understanding of the presence of God working his wonders within me and around me and through me. So here's the question. Are you aware of your best self? Do you realize how much courage it takes to be the person the Lord created you to be? Do you realize that when you are the image of God the world has never seen before and will never witness again, you are one with God in His mystery of His existence in your life? Do we realize that when we have courage to allow God to work through us, we find meaning in our life? Then we are numbers no longer. We are like prophets of the Most High, delivering a unique aspect of God's truth. Who are those people in your life who have made a significant contribution to the world? Who are those people whose lives have had meaning? Who are those people that rise above the numbers? They are the ones who have dedicated their lives to fulfilling the truth of the Lord that they alone possess. We call these people set aside for God. We call them holy. We call those who fulfill their personhood saints. And we are called from our mother's womb to be among them. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father.